apply oneselves in the essential points. In terms of all of the 84,000 dharmas, it's all in essence renunciation, bodhicitta, and abiding in the true nature of mind. Just really these three pith instructions, and really grasp this. Just these three pith instructions. And if we do this, there's no way we won't be able to attain liberation. Definitely, we will attain enlightenment. And use the right mindfulness and right awareness to support the state of mind. Day after day, night and day, support the state. Support what is going on within your own mind, not support the external world. No matter what appears, what arises, I will always support this renunciation and leave the samsara behind. And no matter what appears for sentient beings in terms of the suffering of suffering, the suffering of change, the suffering of everything composite, the suffering of birth, old age, sickness and death, for all of these sufferings, I will give rise to bodhicitta for the benefit of sentient beings. And I'm not going to wait for several eons to achieve this. And I want to attain enlightenment in this lifetime. In order to do this, moment by moment, I'm going to support the true nature of mind, the right mindfulness and right awareness, and fiercely pray to my root guru. When we open our eyes during the day, there's this world that appears. When we close our eyes, this world disappears and another world appears. And this life of ours is very feeble. We breathe out and we don't breathe in again, just the difference of one breath, and we might find ourselves in our next life. And so really don't waste this opportunity to practice this life. If we really view it like this, we really see that in this world there is nothing more important than this. And so don't look back and have regret for not practicing. And encourage oneself, as long as I have this life, for every moment, for every breath, I'm going to remember bodhicitta. And I'll practice, I'll think of Amitabha, I will think of the sufferings of sentient beings. In terms of sentient beings, to give rise to bodhicitta. In terms of all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, to give rise to cherishing. And between the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and sentient beings is ourselves. That everybody has been in retreat for such a long time, I really praise and rejoice in everybody's practice. And from practicing, we really see that we have changed in terms of our afflictions, our attachment, our aversion, our ignorance, in terms of our daily life. In all these aspects, our lives have changed. And in this I rejoice. And as we increase, improve our levels of practice, become purer and purer, and more we become like these Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and these lineage masters. Free, natural, with a pure mind. For all those students that are practicing the pith instructions, going into retreat, I've been observing their thoughts, their way they speak, their actions, their logic. And it seems like they are really correct and very stable. And they're full of wisdom. Their minds are not full of these stresses and anxieties, and very feeble and easily influenced and full of negativities and lost. And this anxiety and stress is not the practice, the true nature of mind. The students are full of positive energy, and this is from practicing the pith instructions and practicing correctly. And some of the students are in 100-day retreat, 200-day retreat, 300-day retreat. And when they come out of retreat, they're very pure, full of wisdom and great, vast compassion. They're not caught up in all of these impure appearances. And this great realizations in their practice is really the blessing of Padmasambhava and of the great lineage masters. And this is very important. And those in retreat carry on practicing well in retreat. Those that are doing other practices, practice them well, and practice according to the step-by-step procedures. And also in Trekcho and in Torgal, there are also step-by-step procedures for practice. And this really is the safest way to practice and the quickest way to practice. It's not as if that you get the pith instruction today and tomorrow you know the true nature of mind. This realization comes through the step-by-step practices. The step-by-step practices of the Long Sum and the Long Chen Nintig methods and pith instructions. Just like we climb steps, one step after the other, one step after the other, and we go higher and higher in the building. And we don't have to fly up. There's no necessity. His Holiness Lama Achuk Rinpoche, it didn't matter whether it was a Kampo or it was a great practitioner or just a normal practitioner. He always taught everybody step by step according to the pith instructions and the procedure of the pith instructions. And this really is the safest, and it really has a lot of blessing. And this is very important. Don't scatter and muddle up these pith instructions. Practice them one by one, and one by one we improve the state of our practice. And in this way, we improve our level of realization. Oh, with this pith instruction, I can have my mind in calm abiding and settled for 5 minutes. And for the next pith instruction for 10 minutes. And then the third pith instruction for 15 minutes. The fourth pith instruction for 20 minutes. And then by the next pith instruction, we're able to abide in the true nature of mind, unmoving, continuously abiding in Rigpa. And these pith instructions, step by step, have an incredible blessing from this incredible lineage. And in this way, our practice is very safe and it's very reliable. And in this way also, the student is able to see their improvement from this very lost, confused state of mind, improving step by step, becoming more and more pure. And that they won't regress anymore in their practice, and they know for themselves the level of their practice. And the student is very clear for themselves, and then when they receive the next pith instruction, they can practice that next pith instruction even more easily. When we practice, maintain a pure mind, generate the 5 perfections, and all that we have been practicing is then going to, at the time of facing death, appear within our state of mind. Similarly, all the negativities, for instance, if we were harming others, killing animals, then at the time of death, this will appear before our eyes. Then our mind becomes all lost, all of those negativities that we generated, we engaged in, they will all appear at the time of death before us. And our mind will be very scattered. If what we've been doing is visualizing Amitabha, lineage masters, our root guru, doing practices like these, then at the time of death, this is what will appear before our eyes. Whatever we have been engaging in and practicing during our life will then manifest before us at the time of death. If they've been practicing and abiding in Rigpa, this is what they will experience at the time of death. If they've been practicing Amitabha during their life, then at the time of death, Amitabha will appear before them. Whatever the motivation, the purpose of ours was during our life, this purpose and motivation will appear at the time of death. And so really the efforts of our practice will not be in vain. Similarly, just like during the day, if there's something that we place a lot of importance on, then there's a good chance at night we will dream of it. We might have all sorts of concerns, anxiety, worry, fear, all kinds of afflictions. If there's something during the day we really had attachment towards, then it's a very good chance it will appear in our dreams that night. Similarly, if we've put an emphasis on practice and attaining liberation and attaining Buddhahood, then this can manifest and appear before us at the time of death. 1. Don't go down the wrong path. 2. Practice according to the step-by-step practices. 3. Those pith instructions given to us by our Vajra Guru. Practice them and gradually improve our state of realization. In terms of everybody's practice, I really praise you all.
Sonam